Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
All righty, let's continue. So far, we were talking about victorious living, mainly. Anyway, let me give you the points I made, just in case I didn't make them clear enough. The first thing was we keep God's word in first place. You know, God's word is the main thing. And we talked about focusing on the word, renewing our mind with the word, speaking the word, all that stuff. Word. Word, dude. Yeah. The second thing was that we have to find our place and walk in our grace. God has something for us in the word. Got to figure out what it is. That's one of the main things. If you don't know what that is, look for it. You can find it in the word. Number three was follow the leader God put in your life. That was where we all were shouting about obeying and submitting, remember? Everybody was so excited we had to calm everybody down. Stop. Yeah, but no. Now, actually here's a secret. Maybe it's not a secret. But, you know, actually, like when I go to churches and stuff, I always try to say stuff about the pastor, like, hey, your pastor's great and stuff, unless they're like an idiot or something. Then I ignore it. But because there's really, I see so many problems in churches. I know of a church where there was somebody in the church, not a leader or anything, but somebody in the church, and they had this kind of strange belief, and they were telling everybody in the church. And the pastor said, stop telling people this. You're actually scaring people. It was an end time thing, and it was stupid, not even in the Bible. And the pastor told them, stop telling people this. No, pastor, I want to keep telling them. And the pastor said, you're just confusing people and scaring people. No, but I want to tell everybody. Well, stop. No. Well, who's leading the church, them or the pastor? Well, finally, they left and pastor kicked them out and everything. But because it's such a problem. Last year, go back to schools all over Europe. I always say positive things about Monica, the school director. You know, some people, well, who is she? She did it. Anyway, that's another story. Yeah, honor. That's a lot of it. Anyways, never mind. Number three, follow the leader. I'll get to it in a second here. Yeah. Number three, follow the leader God put in your life. Number four was the right relationships. And number five was be led by the Holy Spirit. Those are the points we were talking about with victorious Christian living. The other thing I was going to say fits with our next deal. Bible interpretation. Now, there's a whole class I do about that, but I'm not going to tell you what I say in class because you have to come to Bible school for that. But I'll give you some points. The main thing we were talking about with victorious living is you got to have the word. That's got to be the main thing. That's always got to be the main thing. But the problem comes where people start getting confused and what does the Bible really say about this? What does it say about that? And I just remembered, let me give you, you know, I mentioned a couple of verses before I was trying to find. The one where I said people are in captivity because or something. False doctrine. Isaiah 5:13, where God says, my people have gone in captivity because they have no knowledge. That one in the Hosea verse I mentioned there in my notes for Bible interpretation, actually. But then the other one I mentioned where people have a form of godliness but deny the power of it, from those people turn away. That's 2 Timothy 3:5. 2 Timothy 3:5 talks about people who have a form of godliness but deny the power. I'm glad there's power. And not just like somebody laying hands on you power, but there's power, the word has power to transform you, which is why you need correct Bible interpretation, because we need to be able to filter what we're hearing to see, is it really accurate? Is it really true? Oh, Lord. Well, anyways. Bible interpretation, go to 2 Timothy. I've really been liking 2 Timothy lately. I don't know why, but I have. Yeah, it's very good. I like it a lot. There's some verses I really like, and there's a few there I've been in a lot. But 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, when I do this class in Bible school, it's 12 hours long, and we're obviously not going to have 12 hours of class. But 2 Timothy 2:15, I always say this is the main verse for Bible interpretation, and there are several others. But this is the main one we're going to look at here. 2 Timothy 2:15. In 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, and Titus, those are letters that Paul wrote to these two ministers, Timothy and Titus. And I heard a guy say this years ago. He said, you know, if you are called, as he said, to be a spiritual leader, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, he said, if you're called to that or you think you might be called to that, he said it would be good for you to read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus over and over again. And he suggested once a month. And I thought, that's a pretty good idea, so I do that. You can do whatever you like. But I think everybody, you'll find some parts in the Bible, maybe a chapter, maybe a few verses, maybe a whole book like that, that really speaks to you. Well, there's probably a reason for it. You know, we talked about being led by the Holy Spirit. There are sometimes we get this stirring in us and we don't know what it is, and it's really God trying to speak to us. It's like Moses in the Old Testament with the burning bush. You know, he's out there with the sheep and just doing it. And he says, you can go read the story, but he says, I'm going to go see this thing. And it was when he moved toward this thing that caught his attention. When he went towards it, that's when God started talking to him. The way I see it is that I believe there's times God's trying to get our attention. And if we'll listen to him, if we'll follow that, if we'll pursue it, he'll talk to us about some things. You know, even in the Song of Solomon, it talks about the lover came to the door, knocked on the door, and they're like, oh, I'm in bed, and I just washed my feet, all this stuff. Well, by the time they got to the door, that other person had left. There's times that God has given us a little bit of, you know, in Revelation, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. A friend of mine said the devil's verse is, behold, I stand at the door and pick the lock. Anyways, that's another. That's not correct Bible interpretation, by the way. No. But there's things God's trying to talk to us about, and part of our problem is we get all this stuff all mixed up and confused, and we're not sure, is that God, is that not God? Because sometimes what we've been eating spiritually is just a bunch of junk. And there's a lot of junk out there. Ministers, and it works for everybody, because preachers and pastors are all part of the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And literally, when he says rightly dividing, he means to make the right cut. Cut it the right way. And that always reminds me of the joke my dad liked. My dad was a carpenter. He did a lot of woodworking stuff. And he always liked this little joke. You know, I've cut the board twice and it's still too short. I cut this twice, it's still too short. Let me cut it again. No. You make the wrong cut with something, you make the wrong division, and you're going to have a problem. He said we need to correctly know how to make the right cut, rightly divide the word. And that tells us if you could rightly divide it, then you could wrongly divide it, couldn't you? You could correctly interpret the word, and you could incorrectly interpret the word. And this is the problem. Now, people will say this, that, well, you have your interpretation, I have mine. Not really. If I told you I flew on an airplane yesterday from Milwaukee, Wisconsin to Portland, Oregon, would you think I took a trip to Brazil? No. Well, that's your interpretation. No, that's the facts. Part of our problem is, and this is where in the class I'll talk about the verses in Hosea and Isaiah where people don't know some things and it's hurting them. Our biggest problem is ignorance of the Bible. That's the biggest problem. And it's so sad because, you know, I just bought this little tablet on Monday, and I've already got a Bible program in it. I mean, that's one of my phone, I use the Bible program probably more than the phone. You can get the Bible on the internet. You can get it in all kinds of bookstores. You can get it like an app. You can get Bible, Bible, Bible. But what are we doing with it? You know, a friend of mine, somebody we both know, Josh Waldock in Wisconsin, he said he went to this like church growth conference. And he said people, you know, they have their little tablets and stuff and they're taking notes. He said then he's looking, some people, then they're on Facebook, and, you know, then they're like little Twitter. We've got all been talking about with Victorious Christian to the truth, but how much time do we spend? But then how do you correctly interpret the word? How do you make the right cut every time and you're not cutting it all wrong? You know, like, maybe you got a birthday cake and you cut one piece like this and two little slices. It's like, well, that's all messed up. We want to be able to make an accurate cut every single time with the word and know what it's talking about and not go, well, does it really mean that? Does it really say that? The one I was thinking about before that I didn't say with, you know, like I talk about Monica. You know, some people don't like Monica because she's a woman. Because, you know, the Bible says that women can't speak in the church. Really? Is that what it says? Yes. We had a guy at our church in Germany. And some people are just crazy. You know, because my question is always this. Okay, when did you decide, like we had this guy in our church and he was all upset because, you know, Rhema's wrong. You guys are all wrong here. And I said, why? He said, because you have women preaching. I said, oh. And I said, now why is that wrong? Well, the Bible says. I said, okay, what does the Bible say? He said, well, the Bible says, you know, you know, you can't have a woman teach. I said, there is another. I said, okay, that's one verse. So I'm trying to help him. He doesn't even know what he believes. He says it's wrong, and he can't even tell me why it's supposedly wrong. So I said, okay, that's another verse. I said, that's two verses in the Bible. Give me another example. Give me another verse. Well, it's wrong. Why? You can't just say you don't like something because you found part of a verse. I was teaching this class one time, and a lady comes up to me and says, you know, said, in our church, we there's that verse in Corinthians that says, you know, woman has to have her head covered. And she said we had a guy come to our church, and his whole message was about women have to wear something on their head. That was his whole message. And I hear that and I get mad. Really? That's the whole message? That's the most important thing people need to hear? Women have to put something on their head? Really? I said, okay, let me ask you. I said, do you know how many times you find that in the New Testament? And she said, I think that one time. I said, yeah, one time. Now, if this was really something we have to pay attention to, like walking in love or correctly interpreting the scripture, something like this, that you see over and over and over and over one church, is that something you really need to focus on? You know, Paul did write to the Corinthians that, you know, a woman needs to be silent in the church because it's a shame for a woman to speak in a church. And people get this all confused. Literally, he says, a woman cannot utter one word in the church. Then my question is, why? Are women evil? No. My mother's a woman, by the way, in case you didn't know. So don't say my mommy's evil. No, but I, like this guy who was all upset, I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, when did you decide to be born as a man? He's like, what? When did you decide to be born as a German? You didn't. So you're telling me, this is always one of my arguments, besides what the Bible says, but I said, you're telling me that somebody is born a certain way that either restricts them or allows them to do something. Is that what you're telling me? Well, yeah. I said, really? That's not even logical. Something that a person has absolutely no control over determines their destiny. Is that right? Well, that's not biblical. Because we can go look there since we're all. This is really, oh man. There's a church I go speak at in Hamburg once in a while. I've been there a couple times. And the pastor's a woman. Oh, some people, oh, a woman pastor. Oh, we can't have that. Really? Why? Well, the Bible says a woman can't teach. Really? Is that what it says? And when I say that, you could see these guys are like, I think so. Now, you never want to just fight and argue and be mean and all this stuff like that. But if we're really going to believe what the Bible says, then we have to look at what the Bible actually says. We can't just say, well, I think it means this or I think it says this, right? I mean, we have to be Bible-based to have a victorious life and not just confuse ourselves and everybody else in sight. I got this in my notes here. Somebody let me find it. It'll be simpler. But people, there's two main places that people look at when they talk about this, you know, women in the church thing. And I was teaching down in southern Germany. Oh, this is several years ago. Actually teaching down by Munich. And I said, ooh. I'm like, really? Because some places, it's a big issue. And people, like, have a fight with you about it. Well, you know, you never want to fight with people and argue and just be mean. But we have to have an accurate knowledge of what the Bible really says to live the right kind of life and not just keep ourselves out of trouble, but to keep everybody else out of trouble too. 1 Corinthians 14, like I mentioned. 1 Corinthians 14, let's start in verse 34. And I'll read it the way a lot of men interpret it, all right? Because I think this is funny. And I can't always do it with a translator, so. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 34, the way some people think it says. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. That's what some people think it says. Now, if you can read like an intelligent human being, you already see some issues here. Like, here's one of them. Okay, let's say somebody's single and they want to learn something. Who do they talk to? Let them ask their husband at home. Well, wait a second. They don't have a husband at home. So something's wrong already, isn't it? And he also says they're supposed to be submissive, as the law also says. Now, does the law in the Old Testament, does it ever say women can't talk in the church? No. But what's it talking about? Now, here's a clue. It's like this in German and it's like it in Greek. The word you could use for woman and wife are the same. The word you could use for a man and a husband are the same. And if you switch here and you don't just say, you know, a woman or a man, and you switch husband and wife, it makes a lot more sense. Because a wife is to submit to her husband. That's what the Bible teaches. And especially at this time, women didn't have the opportunities they have today. A lot of women were kept, you know, where they didn't learn anything, they didn't know anything. And they would sometimes say, hey, what does this mean? Because the husband's on one side, the wife's on the other side. I just went to a church in Germany, this gypsy church, and most of the men are on one side, most of the women are on the other side. To each other in the church, it's going to be a shame if the woman starts interrupting what's going on, trying to ask her husband a question when she should wait till they get home and she can ask him then. Now that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because if it's such a shame and terrible for women to speak in church, there has to be a reason. God doesn't just make these arbitrary rules like no ice cream on Tuesdays. Why? Well, because I said so. No, that's not God. God doesn't do stuff like that. If he said something, there's got to be a reason for it. You look in 1 Corinthians 14, what's he talking about? Gifts of the Spirit, he's talking about order in the church. Let the prophet speak two or three, then let another person judge. If there's no interpreter and somebody's trying to speak in tongues, they ought to be silent. He's talking about order in the church, not about women are inferior, which some people seem to think. Men and women are different, yes. Americans and Germans are different, yes. Americans and Canadians are different, yes. But it doesn't mean one's inferior to the other. Everybody's got a place. And if everything's all chaos and out of line, well, nothing's going to get done right. That's really what he's talking about. You know, this guy, and it's sad, but this guy who was in our church for a while, I mean, he got to the point of almost being violent. I mean, seriously, the police had to come and take this guy away. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. You know, me and the guy who was our youth minister at the time, he had got upset with another woman, and that was really his problem. He didn't know how to deal with women. I mean, seriously, the guy had some issues. And he came to church, and he was yelling and swearing, and it was bad. And we kind of ran him out of the church. Well, he was waiting outside till the church ended because he wanted to get somebody. I mean, he wanted to attack him. So I got in front of him, and he was mad. And this holy, super spiritual guy started cussing at me. Mr. Spiritual, I know the Bible. He's like, you blankety. And I'm not fluent in German, but I know enough to know what he was saying. And it wasn't just you rotten American. I mean, it was worse than that. But this guy, you know, he's claiming that he's all, you know, I'm going to follow the Bible and all this stuff like that. But really, he's just following his own personal ideas. He had one sort of a verse that fit with what he thought was true. And he wanted to just take this verse and whack everybody. And here comes Anna, the prophetess, and she's saying all this great stuff. If it's so wrong, then why did God put that in the Bible? What about where Paul talks about in Romans, I believe, 16? He talks about Phoebe, our fellow servant, and the word literally is a minister. It's the same word that's used for Timothy as a minister. So, and I told this one person talking about this, because I've had several conversations. I said, if she wasn't a minister, then neither was Timothy. I said, what do you do with that? What do you do even in the Old Testament, the inferior covenant, when they had Deborah, who was leading the whole nation? She was the leader of the nation. If you can't have women speaking or teaching or leading, then what do we see all these examples in the Bible for? Well is not a Bible verse. Yeah, but that's not a Bible verse either. 1 Timothy chapter 2, here's the other one people like. And, you know, I always tell people, I say, if you see something, I mentioned before, you see something one time in the Bible, don't build your whole doctrine on it. You can't. How inferior to others. Because if women can't speak, women can't teach, well, there must be something wrong with them. And then this is where I really get people in trouble, where I say, okay, so let's read this here first. And then I'll tell you what the trouble was. 1 Timothy 2, we'll start in verse 11, and I'll read it again the way people think it says. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. That's how some people think it reads. No. He says, a woman's supposed to learn in silence with all submission. Okay, submission to who? Does every woman have to submit to every man? No. No, that's wrong. That's not biblical. Because then I have authority over every woman here. Well, that's not right, because, like, just for example here, like Don and Pastor Bob are going to be upset if I try and tell their wife what to do. Here, wash my socks. Well, he's like, wait a second, that's my wife, not your wife. Yeah, but I have authority over women. Really? Since when? Yeah, really, it's Islam. Because that's acting like all women are somehow inferior to men. I don't permit a woman. Where does the Bible say that? It doesn't. He says, I don't permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Now, again, if you substitute man for husband, it's the same word. It's wrong for a wife to have authority over her husband. That's not right. Because wives are supposed to submit to their husband. And again, that's like, you know, people ruling over you. It's all out of whack, and people have that so messed up. You know, yeah. This doesn't mean that the husband is like Joseph Stalin and his wife is the slave. That's not right. That's not biblical. But there is authority in the home, just like in the church and in the body of Christ. That's all he's talking about. But he didn't say no woman could ever teach, because you have examples of it in the Bible. You know, remember when Mary went to see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth gives us, oh, you know, the mother of my Savior's here. All of a sudden, you know, did the angel show up and say, hey, you better shut up. Don't you talk. That's wrong. You're not supposed to teach anybody anything. We better take that out of the Bible. That doesn't belong in there. You know, then this is the part I always bring up, and I say, okay, so you're telling me it's wrong for a woman to teach or to lead here. Pastor Bob, he has to go wherever. Something happens. He's got to go somewhere. Sunday morning, Pastor Sibile, she gets up and speaks, and 10 people get born again. And that's wrong? And these guys are always like, you're telling me just because a woman said it, it's wrong. That doesn't even make sense, and it's not biblical for sure. And I always tell people, I said, you know how I got born again? I was dating this girl, a female, by the way, who started telling me about Jesus and the abundant life I could have, and that's why I got born again. So am I even a Christian now? And you can see their little mind goes, because if you just take a couple of isolated verses out, try to build your whole doctrine on that, and ignore everything else in the Bible, you're not dividing it correctly. You're not making the right cut. Because when you talk about Bible interpretation, the main rule is always Scripture interprets Scripture. That's the main thing. Scripture interprets Scripture. And that rule actually came out of the Reformation with people that said, no, we will tell us at the time, the organized church, the only one for yourself, you're not smart enough, you're all a bunch of idiots, we'll do this for you. So we'll tell you what it actually means. And Luther and some of these other people said, no, Scripture is the best interpreter of Scripture. If you want to understand one part of the Bible, look at what another part of the Bible says. You know, here's a good simple example. Was it 2 Corinthians 11:12, where Paul talks about he had a thorn in the flesh? Oh yeah, Paul was sick. Really? How about that phrase, thorn in the flesh? Do you find it anywhere else in the Bible? If you want to know what one part of the Bible says, look in other parts of the Bible. There's at least three instances in the Old Testament where God says, if you don't get rid of all these bad people, it'll be like a thorn in your side. Three times. And what did Paul have problems with? Sickness? No, people. He had these guys follow him around and start trouble all the time. Paul had people problems. This same phrase he used, thorn in the flesh, is used three times in the Old Testament to talk about people problems. So what do you think both of them are talking about? People problems. We don't know. Very simple. If we of the whole thing, so we pull one little piece out, and it's totally mixed up. We not only need to know the word, but we need to know how to correctly interpret it. And the first thing you have to do is interpret Scripture with Scripture. If you're reading some verses, like I mentioned, 1 Corinthians 14, where it talks about women being silent, there were two verses we looked at. Well, what do the other verses around that say? Don't just pull that out of its setting. Read the whole thing. Read that whole chapter. If you're still not clear, read the whole book. Oh, that's a lot. Yeah. But it's better than being an ignoramus and running around confusing everybody. Well, women can't teach in church. Women can't. Really? Based on what? Well, based on one verse I have. Really? What does the rest of the Bible say? I don't know. Yeah. Some guy came up to me in Bible school one time, and he said, well, you know, the Bible is filled with contradictions. I said, really? Like? Well, there's a lot of them. And I said, have you ever read the whole Bible? Well, no, you haven't. I said, how can you tell me the Bible has all these contradictions when you never read the whole thing? How do you know it's contradicting itself? How do you know there's mistakes in it if you don't even know the whole thing? You know, I watched 20 minutes of the MacGyver episode last night, and it's all messed up. Did you watch the whole episode? No. Well, then how do you know it's all messed up? If you didn't see the whole thing, you don't have the context. You've got to, first of all, look at right around what you're reading, what does that say? And then start expanding from there. It's like you're standing in a spot, and you're looking at something and say, I don't understand it. Well, take a step back. If you don't understand a verse, then look at the verses that are all around it. If that doesn't help, then take another step back and look at that whole book. If that doesn't help, then you can look at, okay, Paul wrote this. He wrote in Corinthians. He wrote in Timothy. But he also wrote several other books or letters. Did he ever say this in any of the other letters? Did he ever tell people in Galatia, Corinth, Philippi, Ephesus, Thessalonica? Did he ever tell any of them that women can't speak? Because if you can't find some, Titus as well, no. Over and again, well, then it can't be an accurate Bible thing, can it? Then you go to things like, it's almost like you're not sure. Let's go to, the first one we'll do is Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Because if we don't understand something we're looking at, like a verse, then look at the verses right around it. After that, look at the whole book. If you still don't understand it, look at some other things that same person might have written. What else did Paul write? What else did he happen to say? Look at those things for a little more clarification. After that, of course, you look at the whole testament it was written in. Like, Paul wrote that in the New Testament, right? Corinthians and Timothy are both in the New Testament. That's the next step. After that, it's the whole Bible. And you have to fit all these things into the context where Scripture interprets Scripture. Otherwise, you're just going to have problems. Galatians chapter 3. And we'll start in, let's start in verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, starting in 26. He says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have put on, as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. He says there, he said, you're not even male or female anymore. You're not Americans or Germans or Chinese or Hungarians or whatever you might be. No, you're all one in Christ. God doesn't look at us based on male or female. He doesn't look at our passport to see if he's going to bless us, or driver's license here. Well, let's see. Show me your passport. Oh, you're an American? You're a loser. No, because I love all the Germans. You Americans are worthless. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, well, you're a man. Well, I can do something with you. And you're a woman? No, I can't do anything with you. No, he said right here, he said, you're not even men and women anymore in God's eyes. The races and the genders and all this stuff means nothing to God. It means absolutely nothing. But people, because if everything doesn't come back to what the Bible says, you're just going to have problems. You know, also over in Colossians, and I have to look at my little notes, but I believe this is the one where it talks about, I got so many scribbles on my notes here. Where was I? In Colossians. Wasn't it 3? Wait a second. I'm looking at the wrong one. Yeah, okay. I'm looking at the end of the chapter. Wrong one. Yeah, it's Colossians chapter 3. And let's see here. How about, let's start in verse 10. Colossians 3:10. He says, "And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, for Christ is literal and in all." And this is the one, if you look up some of these words, he says, we're in Christ, there's neither this or that. Literally, it means there's no place for it anymore. It would be like saying, I have my sailboat, and I like to go out and sail, or I like to go in the Columbia River Gorge on my boat or whatever, and I like my boat so much, and I like the sail on my boat so much, I'm going to put it on my car. Well, you can't put it on your car because there's no place for a sail on your car. He says, in Christ, there's no place for this stuff anymore. Your nationality, your race, your gender, it means nothing to God. You can't base your position in the body of Christ or your calling on your gender or on your color or on your national background. You know, talking last night with these guys about how, you know, we've got some students in our school that we would call gypsies. And you want to talk about people that nobody seems to like, it's the gypsies. I mean, all over Europe, they're persecuted and treated bad and everything like that. But with God, you don't see that stuff anymore. That doesn't exist. And for us, it's difficult because we're so focused on the outside, but we've got to be able to look past that stuff too. Because that's how God sees people. He doesn't look at them based on their nationality or gender or color or whatever. And see, the devil wants us to look at all the outside stuff because that helps to divide us. God wants us to look at the stuff on the inside. Now, I've met a lot of people in my life, and living over in Europe, especially like the Bonn area, because Bonn used to be the capital, you've got people from all over the world there. And there's, I've met some very nice people and very bad people from like every race, gender, and nationality you can imagine. And it's not, whether people are good or bad is not based on some natural characteristic. You know, just like women are not forbidden to speak just because they're a woman, you know, one group of people is not bad just because they're that group of people. I mean, it's true. In Christ, all that stuff disappears. Because if we're living the victorious life that God wants us to live, and we're correctly interpret the word of God the way we should, none of the outside stuff really matters. Oh, where did you come from? What does it matter? I've met people, they don't like me because I'm an American. Oh, Ami Raus. You know, get out. Why? Because you're an American. Because I don't like them? If we just look for things that divide us, we're going to have problems. We've got to look at things through the filter of the word. Remember, we saw Proverbs chapter 4, keep God's word in front of our eyes. We need to renew our mind with the word. What does the word say about this stuff? Well, the people in Oregon are all weird. Really? Why? Because they're from Oregon? Maybe some people in Oregon act weird. Well, so do some people in Wisconsin. You know, I'm from Wisconsin. There was a story one time, I mean, just bizarre. This is Wisconsin. So this guy, here's a true story. This guy, he tells his wife to go buy him some beer. She won't go buy him some beer, so he gets mad. So he goes out and shoots the goat. You're thinking, how does this even make sense? He went out and shot the goat because she wouldn't get him the beer? And I remember reading the story, and I thought, only in Wisconsin. Mad over the beer, so they killed the goat. Like, what? And people think, well, you Wisconsin people are weird. Yeah, some of them are, but not all of them. You start labeling people certain ways. I don't know who Oregon maybe doesn't like, but like when I was in Norway, all the Norwegians, they make fun of the Swedes, and the Swedes make fun of the Norwegians. The Norwegians say that we know Jesus wasn't born in Norway because there's no wise men in the East, which is Sweden. Yeah, okay, whatever. But people, they like to look at other people in some ways and think, well, I'm better than them because of whatever. But in Christ, you're not better than anybody else. You're different. You know, the pastor, you know, leads the church, but that doesn't mean they're superior to you somehow. They're still just a Christian. They have a different function in the body. You read through the Bible, like you talk about some of the stuff to submit to those over your leadership. People don't like that stuff. They get all wound up. I don't want to obey anybody. I'm free. Really? Really? Based on what? Well, I don't have to listen to anybody. Really? Based on what? You got to go back to the Bible for everything. If you're reading something and it doesn't seem to make sense or it's not clear, or you don't understand it, don't look at that first thing and what clarify. Look at what's right around it. The immediate. Take another step back. Read that whole chapter. Read the whole book. Don't be a lazy Christian. Laziness is not a fruit of the Spirit. And guessing is not one of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to guess this. No, that's not a gift of the gift of the Spirit. But read that whole book. If you're still not sure, what else did that person write? What are they talking about? If you're still not clear, look at the whole Testament. If you're looking at something in the New Testament, don't try and figure it out based on solely the Old Testament. Look at the whole New Testament. Then you go to the whole Bible. And again, it's sad with the access we have to the Word that we don't know the Bible better than we do. It's shocking. Shocking but true. We need to know how to correctly interpret the Bible, but to do that, we have to read the whole Bible over and over and over. Now, some of this is like a German thing, and a lot of my background is German. And I keep track of stuff. I make a list, you know, and I'll listen to Ordnung, you know, get everything. And, you know, I started when this teacher said a lot of Christians never read the whole Bible. So I went back through my Bibles and I noticed that I made little marks, you know, if I read this one or read that one or something in the different Bibles. So I went through to see what I hadn't read. So I still keep track of that. And I'd almost be embarrassed, honestly, to tell you how many times I've read some things because I think I still don't know anything. I look at it and I'm like, really? I've read it that many times? Man, that's almost embarrassing. How much time would it take you to read the Bible? How much time would it take you to read one chapter? Depends on the chapter. You know, Psalm 117 is only two verses. Psalm 119 is like 180 verses or something. The goal is not trying to see how much, you know, quantity of the Bible you can read, but what quality do you get out of the Bible? What can you read that's going to help you where you are for what's going on in your life? But it's not just reading it, it's correctly understanding that, and that means correctly interpreting it. And one of the best ways to interpret the Bible is using the principle of Scripture interprets Scripture, because one Scripture will help you understand another Scripture. And I'm amazed at how these days, how God shows me things from one verse and he starts connecting with all these other things. There was that movie, A Beautiful Mind, several years ago, where this, was he a math professor or something? I don't know if you saw this one. And he's kind of having these delusions, like he's helping the government when he wasn't and all this stuff. But there's one scene in the movie, and I saw this on one of the airplane trips I was on, and he's in his little room, and he's looking at all these newspapers trying to figure something out. And these letters all started coming off the papers, and they like formed some words and stuff like that. And when I saw that, I thought that's exactly what God does. He takes all this stuff from the Word, and when you know the Word, he starts pulling all these pieces out and puts them together and creates this big picture for you. But if you don't know it, you miss all that stuff. There's such a depth in the Word that we're missing because we don't know what it says. And like I say, I teach in Bible schools. A lot of times I do we start with some shorter classes on Bible history, church history, time management, stuff like this. That's usually right at the beginning. And I sometimes teach those in places. And then I teach the class on the end times, which is one of the last classes. And there's some students, when I come to school, I say, let's look here in whatever. And they're like, where is that? You can tell they don't know. Well, okay, they just start Bible school, that's fine. But then I'll come back towards the end of almost 2 years. They've been taking one class a month. And I come back, and some of these same people are like, where is that? And I think that's terrible. That's terrible. Terrible, bad, not good, whatever you want to say. We can't go year after year not knowing what the Bible says. We've got to learn. We've got to grow. Wherever we are, there's another level we need to get to. To have that victorious kind of life, you can't stagnate. You can't just stay in one place and say, I've arrived. I'm super spiritual. I know everything I need to know. That's not true. There's more you need to know. You know, I think of the example with my friend. His name was Larry. He wasn't now. He was older. And him and his wife, they saw me as a young guy, and obviously I was messed up when I got born again. And they would invite me over for dinner. Ooh, food. I'll come for food. Well, see, they were smart. They didn't just want to invite me over for food. They wanted to try and help me because they saw I had some issues. That's problems, by the way. That's how we say it now, issues. People have issues. Yeah. And through this guy and his wife, I learned so many things. We'd just be sitting around, maybe watch the Packer game. You know, it's Wisconsin. Turn on the Packers. We'd sit there, you know, and at that time they were losing every week. And, you know, this Larry guy, he'd just sit there. And he'd say, you know, Jim, did you ever think about this? And he'd say something from the Bible. And I know now what he was doing. He was trying to help me. He'd share some things. And he'd just say, you know, did you ever think about that? And I'd go, no. I mean, at the time, no. But he shared so many things with me that helped me in my spiritual walk. The pastor was a great guy. I still know where he is. You know, we're still friends and all this. But this other guy who was a leader in the church and a welder by profession, he put, what can we do to help other people? Well, first of all, we got to fill ourselves up with the truth, and then we got to know how to correctly interpret it. It makes me sad to see how many Christians are having problems and struggling, and the answer is always the same. It's in the Bible. The answer is fill yourself with the Word. You know, 2 Timothy 3, we won't go look at it, but 2 Timothy 3, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It literally means God breathed. Now, I was reading after this guy named Rick Renner. Do you know Rick Renner? He's kind of a Greek scholar. Oh, yeah, the book you guys gave me, the Sparkling Gems from the Greek, great book. And he talked about, he said, literally what that's saying is God breathed into his word, so he is in his word. So when you are reading his word, it's like you're putting God into you. I mean, it's really awesome how the Greek says that. We look at this as just a book. Well, it's not just a book. This is God speaking to us. It, guys, spend our time with this. It'll change us. I heard a lot. It was just crazy. You know, somebody got us on this thing about you have to deny yourself to follow Jesus, and you have to deny yourself. It's all about sacrifice and all about submission. So every day I tried to find something that I wanted and deny myself because that's how I had to live. Take up your cross, deny yourself, sacrifice. Really? Is that what it means? Not really. And I think, oh, I'd like to have this. No, I won't. I'll sacrifice that for Jesus. And Jesus is like, I don't want it. You can have it. But what I found out was with some of the weird ideas that people gave me, it was giving me trouble, but I had a hunger for the Word. I knew the answers were in the Word, and I spent time reading the Word, and I noticed something. It started to change me. It started to make changes in me. I started not only to see what does the Bible say, how should I live my life, but I started to learn how to hear from the Holy Spirit through the Word. But I noticed it just started to change me. There were times I think, man, it's like something's different. I'm just changing. What's doing that? Well, I know now what it is. It's the Word. And the word transformed is the same word it used when Jesus was on the mountain, and it said he changed. His whole appearance changed. Well, if we'll fill ourselves with the Word, we'll be changed too. But you got to know what the Word says and then how to correctly interpret it. Now, when we come back from lunch, which I forget the time you'll say, I guess, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some of this stuff and maybe end time thing, questions or whatever. But anyhow, but we'll look at that a little bit more. But first, I think we're having lunch.